happened?
Okay, then show your ID.
Get your ID.
Let me show you what the
f***. Renata, what are you doing?
They pull this family over, and the auntie, the aunt, is doing her best to maintain decorum under those extremely stressful circumstances.
Just get the ID. Get the ID.
She's complying with everything that the ICE officers are stating, and they're asking for her nephew's driver's license. He's driving. He's 20 years old. I have a son about the same age. He never takes his driver's license or his wallet anywhere, so he's having a hard time finding his license. At the same time, ICE is using a facial recognition technology, and they're scanning his face, and they begin to beat him, physically attack him and assault him. And this woman, I don't remember her name, but she starts, she's looking in to the camera, and she is calling out for help.
Let him scan your face. Why'd you hit him? No! Stop! What are you doing? No! Why? My nephew! Okay.
Get off of them.
Get off the car. Okay, back out.
The violent arm of the state, which is ICE at this time, is staring her down, and they begin to beat her nephew, and she begins to cry. And by the end of it, they scanned his face and found out that he is a United States citizen. I got a call from a councilman from the Oglala Sioux tribe. And he says, brother, we're in town. Can we meet? So I go to meet with this certain councilman. And he's not alone. He has four other council members that are with him. And they want their tribal members back. They want their tribal members returned. They want the body released. You know, that's habeas corpus. They want these tribal members who are also American citizens to be released. And we proceeded to the detention center because they wanted to gain access to it. And ICE wasn't really, they knew nothing of these men. But we have eyewitnesses that can attest to the fact that they were apprehended by some uniformed personnel. Now, it is absolutely possible that ICE did not apprehend them, but somebody did. So we're continuing the search and we're making progress. What I can tell you right now is that ICE couldn't identify them. I shouldn't say they don't have them because we don't know their names.
On Saturday, a steady stream of mourners visited the intersection of Portland Avenue and East 34th Street, where Renee Nicole Good was fatally shot three times by ICE agent Jonathan Ross. They came with flowers and signs of protest.
My name is LK. I'm a teacher from the Twin Cities. Last time I was here was last Wednesday night, the day that Renee Nicole Good was murdered. This is unprecedented. I mean, I have kids emailing me about what's going on and the presence in their neighborhoods and at their front doors and the very things that keep community going are trying to be torn down, like schools, you know, because kids aren't able to go. They can't go and they can't learn and they can't create. And everybody's in jeopardy. It's not, you know, one type of person. It's literally everybody.
For Democracy Now!, I'm John Hamilton in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Special thanks to John Hamilton. Next up, President Trump has put 1,500 military troops on standby to deploy to Minneapolis to thousands of ICE agents already there, dwarfing the local police department. On Friday, a federal judge ruled peaceful protesters and those who film ICE cannot be arrested. We'll speak with constitutional scholar and professor Michelle Goodwin. Stay with us.
I hear somebody crying. They're crying in the street.
Of Crying in the Streets by Zeeshan B. in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. President Trump's put U.S. military troops on standby for possible deployment to Minnesota amidst ongoing peaceful demonstrations against ICE raids and arrests. Thousands of ICE agents already on the ground now dwarf the local police department and have been accused of a brutal occupation. In one case, armed ICE agents with guns drawn broke down the door of an older Minneapolis man, handcuffed him, dragged him into the snow while he was wearing only his underwear. It turned out the man was a naturalized U.S. citizen from Laos. At least four protesters arrested by ICE agents and detained at the Whipple Federal Building during the so-called Operation Metro Surge said they were denied their right to see an attorney. A federal judge ruled Friday ICE agents must stop arresting or pepper spraying protesters. On Sunday, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem appeared on Face the Nation to defend ICE actions in Minneapolis and respond to the judge's ruling.
We only use those chemical agents when there's violence happening and perpetuating, and you need to be able to establish law in order to keep people safe. That's the only situation. So that judge's order didn't change anything for how we're operating on the ground, because it's basically telling us to do what we've already been doing.
Some legal experts compared the conduct by immigration agents to attacks by police officers on protesters during the civil rights era. We're joined now in Washington, D.C. by Michelle Goodwin, professor of constitutional law and global health policy at Georgetown University. Professor Goodwin, welcome back to Democracy Now! There is so much to talk about here, and we just played this incredible report from the streets of Minneapolis and the latest information that the FBI actually opened a probe and investigation into the ICE agent who killed Renee Good, but then shifted gears and decided to investigate instead the victim herself, Renee Good, and her wife. And then the news of the six attorneys in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minneapolis quitting over the direction of the investigation, and a judge ruling that peaceful protesters should not be pepper sprayed and arrested. Your comments overall?
Overall, this is extraordinary. In fact, the judge's order emphasizes how extraordinary it is to impose this kind of order. That is to say that the conduct that's taken place in this particular surge by ICE is not something that is usual. It's not something that has been lawful. It's not something that has been constitutional. It is not to say that ICE can't be present, but ICE certainly cannot do what it has been doing in Minnesota, much of which you've covered, which is horrific and does actually have flashpoints of the American civil rights movement. The only difference then is that it was the federal government looking to uphold the Constitution, looking to uphold Supreme Court decisions and to protect citizens against unlawfulness by the state. But here you have an inverse, a reverse of that.
And Michelle Goodwin, the threats of President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act, I'm wondering your thoughts about that. I'm thinking especially, for instance, back in 1962 at the University of Mississippi, there was a mass rioting by white segregationists attacking federal marshals because they were trying to escort James Meredith into to integrate the University of Mississippi. There were 160 marshals injured, including 28 shot. And at that point, President Kennedy did invoke the Insurrection Act and ordered federal troops into Oxford, Mississippi. That's a very different situation from what we're seeing here in Minnesota or what we've seen in some of these other cities where Trump has also threatened with the Insurrection Act. Wondering your thoughts.
It's a very different situation. Notice the year that you mentioned. We're talking about the early 1960s. It's 1954, years before that, that the Supreme Court strikes down these separate but equal segregationist laws. It's a time in which the Supreme Court did that through a unanimous decision, recognizing the harms that had been inflicted throughout the American South through that decision, Plessy v. Ferguson. And so the federal government coming in order to support the Supreme Court decision, the constitutionality of equality under law, which is, by the way, something that extends back to our Reconstruction Amendments. Back in the 1800s, the 1860s, the United States Constitution being revised to recognize equality among citizens, birthright citizenship, which is also something that's come up in this past year, and the federal government coming in order to uphold constitutional law. What we see now and what we recognize from this order from the judge over the last few days is the fact that what the lawlessness that has taken place has actually been conducted by the federal government. And the federal government is not above the law. The rule of law is to be imposed on any branch of government, any branch of law enforcement. That's whether it's state law enforcement or federal law enforcement. Simply being part of the federal government does not allow the federal government to breach the rule of law, the Constitution, or legal norms and values.
And I wanted to ask you about your sense of the state of the U.S. Justice Department. The 1 year now since President Trump has been in office, there was a Justice Connection, an alumni group of the of Justice Department prosecutors, has tallied over 6,400 departures and over 230 firings in the past year of prosecutors and agents. We've seen the resignations of prosecutors in Minneapolis refusing to change the investigation from the killing of Renee Good to from the agent investigating the agent to investigating the protesters. Wondering your sense of what the state of the Justice Department is right now.
Sadly, it's in a disarray. And one of the troubling features of this is that important thought leadership that spans across Republican administrations, Democratic administrations, has been lost. One of the stabilities with the United States federal government has been, regardless of party affiliation, being Republican, Democrat, or independent, that there have been individuals who have been part of the brain trust of our federal government, throughout the federal government, throughout departments, and including in the Justice Department. These are individuals who are experts on any number of things, and they're gone. These include experts on Russia, experts on China, experts on North Korea, experts on terrorism, so much more. Gone from the federal government, and that's regardless of political affiliation. And that's quite dangerous, right? There shouldn't be a sense that around one political leader, at least it's been inconsistent in the United States, that around one political leader, there coheres a sense of a kind of loyalty that ignores principle rules of law, principle constitutional values. And so you've seen people leave and leave in protest. And you've just mentioned those in Minnesota who have left because they refuse to investigate Renee Nicole Good or Renee Nicole Good's widow. That is inconsistent with what we would perceive as the rule of law.
And overall, I mean, the federal government, Trump, the Justice Department, threatening to criminally prosecute the Governor Walz, the Mayor Fry of Minneapolis, and then a report of a military recruiter in Minnesota pointing to fears of the ongoing ICE operations in Minneapolis, trying to get high school students to sign up for the National Guard, saying there's a program that can offer the immediate family of service members some protection against deportation. You've got thousands of ICE agents dwarfing the local police department. What about pitting one arm of government and law enforcement against another right now, and how the police in Minneapolis actually enforce the law?
Well, this is why many are reflecting on, and I've been too for some time now, about this kind of reversal, if you will, from what we saw during the United States Civil Rights Movement, where it was so crucial that there would be some protection of vulnerable people, vulnerable African Americans, who were seeking to exercise their constitutional rights, their civil liberties and civil rights, and urging the federal government to get involved against the Bull Connors, the Governor Faubuses and whatnot, those who were committed to segregationist ideas that reached back to American slavery. And what you have here is a real contestation. This is why the judge's order was so important and a very clear delineation. And if I could, I want to just make a note of what we get from that judge's order, because it helps to put so much of this in context. This is a district court judge, and what the district court does is they review facts on the ground. Tell us what happened. Show us videos. We want to have as much witness testimony as possible. And what you see from this 83-page order is just the cruelty, the unlawfulness that has been unleashed on people in Minneapolis and in St. Paul. It's really quite horrific. If you think about just this one aspect of it, people having their faces put in snow for a half an hour. Now, in order for snow to stay on the ground, it has to be freezing cold outside. And if someone has pressure on their back, their neck, their head, to keep them in snow, that can lead to hypothermia. It can lead to even death. So much of what we've not necessarily been hearing about, while we've heard about Renee's horrific death, but what we haven't heard as much about are some of these instances that have been portrayed, that have been carried out in the Twin Cities, that are really quite dangerous and really, words are hard to describe except those that cause us deep pain, such as terrorism inflicted upon American citizens in that state.
And finally, Michelle, I wanted to ask you about another topic. 1 month has now passed since Congress's deadline for the Justice Department to release all files on the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. But the DOJ says it's made available less than 1% of those files. And you see, many people are saying, is he going after Minneapolis, saying he's going to take Greenland, taking the president of Venezuela and possibly threatening to bomb Iran to take attention away? Could that be it? You see a sensitivity at the Dearborn auto plant when a worker yelled, pedophile protector, and he turned around and gave him the finger and mouthed the words, F you, but said the curse?
Well, it's certainly inconsistent with what were the campaign promises. The campaign promises to those who supported Trump and those who didn't was that the files would be released, all of the files. Now, that's not happened. So, and that's critically important. Now, you've raised, is this all a distraction because the files are not being released? Well, it certainly does raise those very important questions, and even more so, the fact that there are victims and survivors out there, and including those who've committed suicide who are no longer with us, such as Virginia Giuffre. And it's a neglect of what was promised. It raises some very serious questions about what remains in the Epstein files. And Americans want to know and deserve to know, and what has been released, and some of which people have been able to undo the redactions of those, it's incredibly alarming. It very much is. And it's a travesty because behind it all, what it suggests is that the federal government is unwilling to do what is necessary in order to protect young people from sexual violence. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what this truly is about.
Michelle Goodwin, I want to thank you for being with us, professor of constitutional law and global health policy at Georgetown University. Next up, thousands protest in Greenland and Denmark, many wearing red MAGA hats as in Make America Go Away. Stay with us.
I wouldn't mind dancing like we own the place, running from another race. But you, you would have seen prancing at you on the place, trying to fake a friendly face. And I'm free singing for today, singing all the same. I'm not yet far away. Could it be I'm free?
Free by Matthew John Finch. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Tensions are escalating between the United States and Europe after President Trump threatened to impose tariffs on eight European allies that oppose his push to take over Greenland, the semi-autonomous territory of Denmark. On Sunday, Trump sent a text message to Norway's prime minister writing, quote, "Considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped eight wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace." Trump went on to write, "The world's not secure unless we have complete and total control of Greenland," unquote. Earlier today, President Trump posted a mock image of himself alongside Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio planting an American flag on Greenland. Over the weekend, thousands took part in protests in Greenland and Denmark, many wearing red MAGA hats, as in Make America Go Away. European leaders denounced Trump's threats and are weighing cutting off U.S. companies to the EU market, a move known as the EU's trade bazooka. For more, we go to Copenhagen, where we're joined by Julie Rademacher. She's the chair of an organization for Greenlanders in Denmark that was among the main organizers of the protests for unity and support for Greenland this weekend across cities in Greenland and Denmark. It's called Greenlanders. We thank you so much for being with us. Can you respond to President Trump saying he will militarily take Greenland?
Well, I have a message also for the American people and for all of you in the U.S. We have for several years had a very good cooperation. We've seen you as the protectors also in Greenland and also in Denmark. But now you are our threat. Your president is going to do something very bad for Greenlanders and are threatening us with annexing our country. So I have a very clear message for you that you are better than Donald and you also can do better than Donro. I think it's very important that we gain trust again, both through our political systems and diplomatic systems, but also between the American people and the Greenlanders and Danes. Because right now, this attack on Greenland is not just about a territory. It's about sovereignty, the right for sovereignty. And it's really damaging the great, great cooperation we have had for so many years between the U.S., the Greenland, and also Denmark and Europe.
And could you talk about your assessment of how the European Union and other countries of Europe are responding to the threats of Donald Trump?
I can say that as a Greenlander for the last week, it's been terrorizing to hear your American president again and again threatening our countrymen, our fellow citizens in Greenland. They have anxiety attacks. They can't sleep. They have nightmares. And people, they consider whether or not they should flee from Greenland. It's a very, very serious situation, not only on a political level or military level, but on a civil level. This is human beings being hurt, They have never done anything wrong. And right now, it's very important for us to get support from the rest of the world. So we get support from Europe, and it means a lot that 56,000 people in Greenland and 17,000 Greenlanders in Denmark. We don't stand alone. We stand together with Europe in our back. It means so much for us with this support, because it feels like a betrayal from the American president. We have fought shoulder to shoulder with your soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we have had Greenlandic soldiers and Danish soldiers fighting these wars for freedom and for democracy. And right now, we have unwillingly become the front for the same fight for democracy, for freedom, and for human rights. We want democracy, but we are not respected. So please, Mr. President, and please, all Americans, we would love you to act. We need you to act. We need you to call all your senators, all your politicians, and tell them they need to act. They need to stop your president in annexing Greenland, because this is not only a matter of Greenland. This is the matter of the world order as we know it. It's a matter of sovereignty, and it's a matter of the borders. So please act, and please speak to all you know about this. And just to make sure that you know, Greenland is protected by all European countries now, almost, and also Denmark has troops up there. So this wouldn't be just an attack on Greenland. This would also be an attack on the NATO alliance. So wake up, America. I know it's early your time. So please wake up. You need to act. And we can fight this fight together within the US, the Europe, and also for Greenland. So please support Greenland and follow our demonstration campaign on supportgreenland.org.
And could you talk also about this claim of President Trump that if he doesn't act, if the United States doesn't acquire Greenland or buy Greenland, that there are threats from China and Russia to move in?
Well, this situation is very bad. We can't go back in time, but we can wake up now. It's very important that the American people all over the US, they act now. Contact your politicians, contact your press. Make sure and that to tell them you support Greenland, not only because of Greenland, but because Greenland is now the front for the fight for democracy. It's very important also to understand this is not just a political or geopolitical fight. This is a matter of trust between the people. We can trust our democracies. We had an election in Greenland last year, and we had an election in Denmark this year. It's very important to understand there's a close cooperation between the Greenlandic and Danish leader. The American presidents try to split our two countries, but it only made us stand even closer together. So the leader of Greenland's message is very clear that if we had to choose, if Greenland had to choose between United States or Denmark, Greenland will choose Denmark and Europe. So it's very important that you wake up and you see that this not only as a fight for Greenland, but also for the trust we as Greenlanders can have for the Americans and the NATO alliance. So this is not only Greenland being attacked. This is democracy, freedom, and the world order as we know it that's being attacked.
Julie Rademacher, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Chair of WAGUT, an organization, national organization for Greenlanders in Denmark, which helped organize the protests for unity and support for Greenland of thousands this weekend, both in Greenland and Denmark. And we'll cover the Davos summit as well, where President Trump and other world leaders are. Democracy Now! Is accepting applications for video news production digital fellowship. Check our website at democracynow.org. I'm Mimi Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Looking for work that fits your schedule and can help make a difference in your community? Statistics Canada is hiring approximately 32,000 people across Canada for the 2026 census. Census jobs offer competitive pay, flexible hours, valuable experience, and the chance to help collect data that shape programs and services in your community. Apply today at census.gc.ca/jobs. A message from the Government of Canada.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.